Let us all pray. In Jesus, I find rest and peace. The world is full of sorrow. His wounds are my abiding place. Let the unknown tomorrow bring what it may. There I can stay. My faith finds all I need today. I will not trouble borrow. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God, which we shall read and consider, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in the book of Revelation, the 14th chapter, the 13th verse, where we read as follows in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may have rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. These were thy words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Christian friends, Stalkies. For centuries, I suppose the debate, a friendly one, has persisted among Lutherans whether it's proper to offer a eulogy at a funeral service of a Christian or a memorial service such as this one today. It's my firm conviction that every sermon at any memorial of a child of God should be a eulogy. How else can one speak of a Christian who has died in the Lord? What can one say except good things about a Christian brother who, even in this life of sin and sorrow, was in Christ reckoned to be righteous and perfectly holy? Our text today is a eulogy, a beautiful description of Otto Stalky. Not as he was a few weeks ago, frustrated, in pain, unable to express himself, but as he is now. Our text is a beatitude. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Blessed is Otto Stalky. What does this mean? It means he's happy. Very happy. Incomprehensibly, gloriously, continuously, eternally happy. With that great triumphant throng, that great white host, Otto stands before the throne of God and the Lamb. What no eye has ever seen in this veil of sorrow, Otto now sees clearly. He sees God face to face. God in all his majesty and glory and splendor. He's in heaven with his Lord. And God there is feeding him and leading him into the living fountains of waters. And that's what Otto Stalky is doing now. And that's what he's going to be doing forever and ever. And that's why he's happy. Now, those people who have never tasted the grace of God, who have never repented, who have lived in their sin and selfishness and self-centeredness, they'd probably think that my description of Otto's present happiness sounds boring. Pie in the sky. Some kind of wishful thinking, apocalyptic balderdash. But the fact that the description of Otto's happiness requires this vivid apocalyptic language doesn't mean that Otto is any less happy or that there's any unreality to it. Just the opposite. The voice from heaven, God's own voice, has spoken these words about Otto. It's God's benediction. And the Spirit says yes to this. Yes. And adds the words, he has rest from his labors. Rest. That means no more animosity or enmity from the world. It means no more betrayal from false brethren or fair-weather friends. It means no more doctrinal controversy, no more unhappiness, unfairness, injustice, no more suffering, no more sin. Just a few weeks ago, Otto was a poor, weak, sinful man. Tempted, troubled, tired, worn out, dying. And now he has rest. Now he is righteous, sinless, holy, exalted, glorious. How can this be? Because he died in the Lord. In the Lord. Because he belonged to Jesus. He had been baptized, born again in the Lord. He confessed the Lord. He'd been called into the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And he served in that ministry most of his life. And through his long life, he believed in the Lord Jesus. Only in him. And every day he washed his robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And now finally, he died in the Lord. And therefore, he is before the throne, blessed forever. What a eulogy God gives Otto in this text. What a magnificent, marvelous eulogy. And there's more to this eulogy, a kind of appendage or adjunct added by the Spirit. Otto's works follow him. They follow him. Not merely in our memory, which grows dim and fades with time. No, they follow him right into heaven. And there they remain. Not only until judgment day, when God straightens everything out and judges between the living and the dead and separates the goats from the sheep according to their works. No, they follow him into heaven, and there they are permanently. A permanent record, a permanent memorial, eulogy to Otto. What are these works that follow? I struggled with that question. Went over to the library, consulted all the commentaries on the book of Revelation, and wasn't helped a bit. Couldn't find one commentary. Well, half of them didn't even address the phrase. The other half didn't have a clue as to what it meant. One liberal exegete was quite dogmatic. He said that John, who wrote the book, was confused most of the time, and this is just an example of a lapse into work righteousness. I think if I'd have been around, he could have told me the meaning of that phrase. I finally found it out for myself by remembering what our confession said. As they quote St. Augustine, let me quote him. He's speaking about Otto and all of us. All the commandments of God are kept when those that are not kept are forgiven. I repeat, all the commandments of God are kept when those that are not kept are forgiven. Otto lived in the forgiveness of sins, in the Lord. And that meant that everything that Otto did, everything that he was, everything he thought and said was a good work. For Jesus' sake, because he was in the Lord. And everything you and I and every Christian does is pleasing to God now and follows us for Jesus' sake. So all the works of Otto, everything he ever did, follow him. Maybe you would indulge me to do a little stammering, meager eulogy of my own in addition to what's said in our text. I just would like to rehearse a few things that I think might be Otto's works, which some of you colleagues and others might not know except for the family. Otto was a humble man in the Lord. He didn't push himself, vaunt himself, project himself ahead of other people. Otto was a gracious man in the Lord. He forgave. He turned the other cheek. Otto was a kind and helpful man in the Lord. Think of all the colleagues he helped read Latin and German texts. One he helped very definitely through the seminary doctoral program at St. Louis. Think of all the students. You students don't remember it, but the older ones will. Must have been hundreds of them whom he tutored in this or that or the other thing, never asking for anything in return. And that brings me to what I remember about Otto most. He was an interesting and brilliant man in the Lord. God gave him an encyclopedic mind. My first experience of Otto was down in St. Louis when I was a professor there. And Otto was in Springfield and going for a master's degree, and he took 5 courses from me, every one of them reading the Lutheran dogmaticians in the Latin language. And it soon became very apparent who was the teacher and who was the student in those classes. Every time a student asked a question which I couldn't answer, I just turned to Otto. There's one he couldn't answer the day it was asked. We ran across the word beer in one of the writings of the old dogmaticians. And a student asked, did Jesus ever drink beer? Next week, Otto came back, I think it was an 8-page dissertation on brewing beer, a history of it. And the conclusion was that, yes, Jesus certainly, probably drank beer. If you can't see the theological significance of that, think about it for a while. Another occasion, We had at the two seminaries, back in those days when I was at St. Louis, a very vexing controversy concerning prayers for the dead. And we debated that for several years. Otto finally solved the whole problem. He stood before both faculties, about 70 men, and he read from a book of an old obscure Lutheran divine whose name nobody knew for 20 minutes in the Latin language. And nobody understood a word he said except Otto and God. And that act totally solved the controversy. He simply concluded it, "Do you see? There can be no prayers for the dead. So we don't need to pray for Otto today." Nobody to this day knows whether Otto was serious or not. He had a good sense of humor in the Lord. And he was a wise man in the Lord. Well, I could go on reminiscing about Otto's good works and about how much he meant to us and how much we loved him and appreciated him and respected him. But really, the voice from heaven, God's voice, has said it all. The final eulogy. "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, they have rest from their labors, saith the Spirit, and their works do follow them." Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.